Let that truth settle into your heart this morning, that it is well with our souls. That with Jesus as our good shepherd, we lack nothing. We lack no good thing. He with Jesus will give us all things. So, Lord, we seek your kingdom first. Let all these other things be added to us as we seek your kingdom, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that we can say it as well. Let us speak your words, Lord, to our soul, to say that it is well. And let it be so, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over 20 years ago, just before I came to this church, I was church planting. I didn't have a lot of money. So I decided I'm going to be a real estate investor so that I can provide for my family and plant this church. And my real estate mentor told me that I needed to come up with a why. I needed to have a reason to get up every day and do whatever you have to do for real estate investing. So I took a week or so, prayed about it. I came back to my real estate investor and I told him, my goal is to give away $1 million before the end of my life. That's what I said. It was a big, hairy, audacious goal, right? But here's the problem. I never became a real estate mogul. I never made money in real estate enough to give away anything. But as I was going through this process, I had to face a gap. The gap between my eagerness to want to give, but then also my reluctance to give on the other hand. A gap between these two things, the desire and the actual doing of it. I realized if I'm ever going to give away $1 million, I'm going to have to give it away $25, $50, $100 at a time. I'm going to have to take every single opportunity that God gives me in my life to give, because there's no other way I'm going to be able to do it. And if I'm going to do this, I need to have a little fun with this, right? And that's something that I think about with this church. You are generous people. And I've seen firsthand you giving to missions, to the regular church budget, to the work of the gospel with some of our gospel partners, giving away of your time and energy. This is something to celebrate. And that's what I love about the text that I've chosen for today, because in this text, Paul is writing to a church who is very eager to give. And he's encouraging them to keep going. Don't stop this joy of giving. Because generosity isn't a one-time thing, giving away $1 million or giving away whatever amount. It's a lifestyle. It's a journey of faith as we learn to trust God with what he's given us. And like any journey, it can start really well, but then we could lose the momentum that we have in giving. And isn't that where some of us may find ourselves today? We want to be generous, we want to give, but when the moment comes, our good intentions might not translate into action. Instead of giving generously, or cheerfully also, we might back down out of fear of not having enough, or maybe self-interest. There's something I would rather have than to give this money away. Or we might sow sparingly. I brought up here a seed planter, right? A spreader, right? Maybe we won't put as many seeds in there because I think I'm going to run out if I put it all in now. And that's what Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. The believers in Jerusalem had been struggling, and the people in Corinth wanted to give a gift to the people in Jerusalem. And they had promised to give, in fact, and Paul is encouraging them now to follow through with what they said they wanted to do. And we know from history that Corinth was a very wealthy city. We know that they were also self-indulgent. And status was everything in Corinth, as we think about what happens in our culture here in America, that hits home, doesn't it? People showing off cars and food and vacations on social media. But Paul is challenging the church of Corinth to be different than the culture of Corinth. He's encouraging them to be known for giving, not for getting. Now, maybe you're here today and you're not even sure where you stand with Jesus. And I want to encourage you that generosity is a powerful force that can change people's lives, both for those who are the ones giving, but also for those who are the ones receiving. And so today, I hope you'll see that for us as Christians, giving isn't about us just doing good. That's why we do this. It's really about trusting God and the goodness of God. How good God is that he gives us all these seeds to put into the spreader and to spread around. That's what I want you to see today. So let's explore Paul's encouragement here today. I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in your Bible, where we have some Bibles under the seats if you want to grab one from the seat in front of you, where we also have that take home, which is in the bulletin. And if you have that take home, I'm going to encourage you to take that out, and I want you to mark it up as we read through the chapter today. And I want you to listen for two things in the scripture. One is, why does Paul say we should give? If you get to a place where you think Paul is telling us a why we should give kind of thing, mark it up. So what would motivate our generosity, right? Why? And then also, I want you to look for how does Paul say we should give? What practical steps does he tell us to take? And if you see one of those, mark that up in your take home. All right, so why does Paul say we should give? What motivates us for generosity, and how does Paul say we should give? What are the actions that we should actually take? So here it is, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 through 15, so kind of a long passage. But he says, now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people in Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year. And your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of to you and arrange in advance for the gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready, this is important, as a willing gift, not as an exaction. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surprising grace of God upon you, or surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. This is the word of the Lord. What's Paul's main point here He used a lot of words to say pretty much one thing. And that one thing, I think, is that we move from our good intentions to joyful giving when we recognize why generosity matters and how to practice it with faith and also intentionality. Now, I know some of you may be new to following Jesus, so before we kind of launch off into this, I probably should say something to you. This whole idea of joyful giving might feel a little unfamiliar to you. You might even wonder, why does God care about what I give? But let me encourage you, God isn't asking you to give out of guilt or out of pressure, but out of trust, again, what I said earlier, in his goodness. Generosity isn't about what God wants from you or wants to take from you, but about what he wants for you, what he wants to do for you and in you. So let's have that as our foundation as we go into talking about why would somebody want to give in a joyful manner? What would motivate us? The first thing I saw, I don't know what you saw, but check what I say with what you saw in the scripture there. There might be some other things that I won't call out today, but the first thing I saw was that God has given us, we have a God-given desire to give. In verse 2, Paul acknowledges their readiness. They want to do this. Deep down, generosity is something that God places in us. The Greek word here literally means a before heat or a before passion. It doesn't mean that you're just willing when someone asks you. It actually means that your heart is already heated up and is already prepared to give. We've seen this word before in other passages that I know I've preached on, and I've mentioned it. And I've mentioned the idea of a thermos, right? A thermos is already filled. It's already got that hot coffee in it. And so when you open it up, it's ready to go. It's preheated in a way. And that's what Paul's talking about here. So when my real estate investing mentor asked me for my why, God had already placed inside of me a desire to want to give to God's work. So that's why that came out. The scripture says in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse 13, it says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So the fact that you're willing to do anything is a gift of God, and then when you actually do it, it's also a gift from God. Think about this spreader, right? The desire that I have to spread God's love and his goodness and finances into the ministry, it's something that God is giving me that desire, right? I don't want to go out there and work in my yard. I want to sit on the couch and do something else, right? But God says, no, I've given you this desire to do this. And our giving isn't just for us, right? God gives us that desire. It's not just for us, but actually what happens is other people get stirred up by your giving, which is pretty neat. So number 2, generosity inspires others, and it multiplies also. Paul says, your zeal has stirred up most of them. The image here is of the competitive fire of athletics. Anybody do athletics when you were younger or even now? Anybody? Are you got any athletes out there? Some of us get fired up when we get out there and we're doing something competitive. Think of a relay race. When that guy comes with the baton and he's run that first leg and he's handed me that baton, I want to match the intensity of my teammate. I want to take that baton and I want to even get more ground on the second leg. It pushes me that way. And that's what the Corinthians did. Their generosity, or just their idea that they said they would give, was lighting a fire under some of the other churches. I remember when my first few years here at the church, we were having an elders meeting and the then pastor said, "You know, we should pay off the mortgage on that building across the way that we call the CE Center." Now, we owed about $300,000 or $400,000 on it at the time. I remember my eyebrows raising as one of the elders. I was like, "Pay that off?" And he's like, "Yeah, we should pay that off like in the next year or something like that." I was like, okay. Interesting, because like before I came to church here and like the first service and he announced that I was coming, he said he wasn't sure how the church was going to pay me. That was like the thing he said in the very first service. I was like, I already signed the contract. How can I get out of here, right? So for another year or two later for him to say, let's pay off that thing, I was like, I don't know about this. But we made a thermometer and we put it in the foyer there and people started giving. And people started giving. And eventually the thermometer went all the way up. As we saw that thermometer raising, it encouraged us and inspired us. And we gave and we gave and we gave until we eventually paid it off. You see, when I drive around this area and I see other people's lawns and how nice and green they are and lush, it inspires me to get out there, put some seed or fertilizer in this thing and go to it, right? And that's the way it is with giving. But not only does generosity inspire others, it also multiplies, which is interesting. Because Paul says, whoever sows bountifully, you put a bunch of seed in there and you go out, you're going to also reap bountifully, verse 6. This reminds me of the widow's oil in 1 Kings 17. There was a famine in the land, and Elijah asks this poor widow woman for bread. But she only has like a handful of flour and a little bit of oil, just enough for like one final meal, I think for her and her son, if I remember correctly. But Elijah tells her, I can't believe he did this. He said, first, make me a cake of bread. First, make me a cake of bread. It seemed impossible, but she obeyed Elijah, and she did that, and God multiplied her resources. The scripture says that for the rest of that time of famine, every time she went back and she poured stuff out of there, it was never gone. Even though there was only enough for one meal, somehow God multiplied it and made it last that entire time. So like that widow, when we give in faith, we're not losing anything. We're actually gaining. Generosity doesn't deplete us. It actually positions us to receive even more of God's provision. When I put a bunch of seed in there and I spread it around my yard or fertilizer, all it does is make room for more of that in the future. And that's what Paul is saying here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This reminds me of a scholarship fund that we have in our counseling ministry. About 15 years ago, we started that because we noticed that not everybody had the money to pay for their whatever they needed for counseling. And almost every month or two, I look at that account and I say, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know if this thing's going to run out, like that widow with the oil. But somehow for the last 15 years, it's like God just keeps placing finances in there for the people who need it. Anyone who's ever needed the help and has taken, you know, the measures they need to in order to receive it have been able to. It's this inexpressible gift. How does God do this? But not only does giving inspire others, and not only does God multiply it, but the neat thing about this is that God loves this. God loves this. You know, the Bible talks about things that God hates, but also talks about things that God loves. And this is one of the things that God loves. And so, number three, God loves and blesses cheerful givers. Paul says each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but for God loves a cheerful giver. You may have heard of this before if you've been in church for a long time, that this word actually is where we get our English word hilarious. It's like hilaros or something like that in the Greek. Paul isn't just saying that God loves someone who's a willing giver. He's saying that he's looking for the joy, enthusiasm, and excitement of someone who gives. It isn't a forced generosity. It's happy, it's eager. And a great example of this is the early church in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. It says that they received their food with glad and generous hearts. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. So this is the idea that the same joy that we would feel celebrating with friends over a meal is the hilarious joy that Paul's talking about here. And this reminds me of a friend of mine, and he talks about the patriarch of his family. The patriarch of his family will often ask the whole family to gather together for an event or something like that. And then it'll come time for a meal, and they'll plan to go to a restaurant. And then the patriarch will start to work everyone to make sure everyone is going to have enough money for their meals. Now, this guy's retired. This guy's got plenty of money. He's done well. He's been smart, right? And here he is at the end of his life. He cannot bless his family with that meal. He's being miserly about it. And so what we're talking about here, imagine instead if we could delight in covering that bill, knowing that we have more than enough. That's the kind of joy that Paul's talking about. A hilarious giver gives with excitement. And there's a reason, Because God is the source of this abundant grace. He blesses us for spreading this our finances out. God is able to make all grace abound to you. I'm going to come back to that verse. But let me just say here, when we give cheerfully, we're not losing. We're stepping into the overflowing grace of God. The one who gives with joy is like someone picking up that dinner with excitement. And that person's going to experience the greater blessing of generosity than the people who are actually receiving it. Right? But generosity isn't just about what happens here. There's more to this because Paul talks about the impact on eternity. And so the fourth thing I wrote down was that giving glorifies God and it impacts eternity. Paul reminds us that there's an investment that we're making, and it's an eternal investment. He says, he who supplies the seed to the sower will increase the harvest of your righteousness, verse 10. So like a farmer who's planting seeds, what we give today is going to produce a harvest that lasts far beyond us. It's like, you know, you planted a bunch of cucumbers, right? And then you went on vacation, you came back, and there's like 12, 20, there's so many, you can't eat them all, you're giving them out to other people. That's the idea here, that happens into eternity. But even more than that, our generosity points people back to God. He says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which will produce thanksgiving to God. So it all comes back to thanking God, the one who gives us these seeds. So when we give, it isn't just meeting someone's need, it's actually bringing glory to God. And that's the most important part of this. People shouldn't necessarily see the gift, they should see the giver behind the gift. And God's giving through you. You're just like a conduit of that. And so that's why Paul ends by saying, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Because at the heart of generosity is really Jesus, God in the flesh. He's the ultimate example of giving that impacts eternity, right? He gave you salvation. He gave me salvation. He gave the church salvation. Our generosity is simply a response to the greatest gift, Jesus, who gave himself for us. So there are lots of things to spread. You can spread your time. You can spread your talents. You can spread your finances. But no matter what you're putting in the spreader, if it's a spiritual thing that you're doing, you are glorifying God, which is the chief purpose of man. And you are impacting eternity. So we've seen here now why joyful giving matters. That's why it matters. But now, what do we do? Like, how do we live this out? It's one thing to be generous, but it's another thing to consistently practice generosity in a way that's joyful, right? That we're not like going back to the offering thing, be like, oh, here's a bunch of money going in there. I'm losing it here, right? But we do it joyfully. And thankfully, Paul doesn't tell us, he tells us exactly how to do this. So let's look at some practical ways. The first thing he says is to be intentional and to plan your giving. Be intentional and plan your giving. Paul tells us to arrange in advance for our giving because generosity is most effective when it's planned and not just happening by leaving it to chance. I think about like what would happen if I waited to the end of the month to do my giving to the church or any other organizations. Folks, there wouldn't be anything left there. Right? We do these things in advance because if we do them at the end, there's not going to be anything left. So this means giving a percentage of your income at the start of the month or the start of the pay period before it goes disappearing somewhere else. If you're not giving yet, or maybe you're only giving occasionally, I'm going to encourage you to start with a small percentage and build up from there. That's one way to increase your faith and your trust in the Lord. Maybe it's 1% a month or 1% a year until you reach the goal that you have. The point isn't here to check a box. It's just to grow in your trust, to grow in your generosity over time. These small, consistent steps that we take lead to a generous life. I was talking to somebody before the service, and I said, I'm so glad that I learned to do this as a teenager when I was making, like, you know, 50 bucks at McDonald's, and I gave $5 to the church, right? It was a lot easier than if I were trying to do this as an adult now. Maybe for you, it means just automating your giving. That's the way I do it. I have everything set up. at a certain time of the month, that stuff just happens. It just goes. I don't even have to think about it. Again, because if I wait till the middle of the month or the end of the month, it's not going to be there. So we automate it. It might mean that you budget for generosity. So it's not an afterthought, but it's a priority that you budget for it. Some people even set giving goals. Like sometimes we budget for savings, like I want to have so much in my savings. What if we budgeted for this is the kind of kingdom impact I want to have? What if we had a kingdom impact line item in our budget? And of course, planned generosity doesn't mean that we can't give spontaneously. So what if we set aside some money so that we're ready when those spontaneous moments come where we find an opportunity that we want to give toward? This is kind of like setting the dial on the spreader, right? I can make the seed come out really fast. I can make it come out really slow. If you're not giving at all, maybe you're just going to start small and just make one click, right? Maybe you've made five clicks and it's time to make six or seven. Maybe it's time to open the whole thing. I don't know. When we plan to give, what we're doing is we're positioning ourselves so that we can give joyfully. But there's more than just a practical thing here. There's actually an emotional, psychological thing going on here, right? Because most of the time when we don't do what we're supposed to do, there's something below the surface going on. And so Paul says to give in faith, not out of fear. To give in faith, not out of fear. Paul reminds us that when we give, we do it in faith. He says that God is able to make all the grace abound to you, meaning he doesn't just give us enough. He overflows our lives with provision. I remember a mentor of mine who did really well in business. And he retired. And I remember he had this smile on his face when he told me, he said, I might have been a little bit too hilarious in my giving too early on. I don't know if I'm going to make it through my retirement into my later years. I don't know if I'm going to have enough because he was so generous. But it turns out, you know, God is faithful. He was able to retire comfortably and provide for his family. There's something that that man knew that I want to know, and that is that giving isn't about losing. It's about stepping into God's abundance. You see, Jesus fed 5,000 people, and what happened when he was done? There was 12 baskets left over. After, there was more after than there was before he started blessing things. Even in seasons of need, some of you are like, yeah, I'm that boy with the few fish and the few loaves. Okay, even in times of need, we can trust that God sees. We can trust that God sustains. We can trust that God cares for us, like he did that little boy in his lunch, like he did for those 5,000 people. Sometimes I have to remind myself that I might run out of seed to put in this spreader, but God's never going to run out of seed. He's never going to run out. The question that we can ask here, whenever we make a giving decision, I want you to encourage you to use this question here. Am I doing this out of faith, or am I doing this out of fear? Because the wrong way to look at this is, oh, wait a minute, if I don't give to the church, God isn't going to bless me. Do you see, that would be a gift of extraction. That's not what God's looking for. He's looking for you to give out of faith. So what is that step of faith that you can take? And of course, I love that Paul really sets this up in a way that now he has talked about money, but now he's going to shift a little bit and say this is more than money. Because Paul tells us also to serve as we give. And this is important because it can get easy at some point to just give money but not do it out of heart of service. So Paul says, serve as you give. The word that he uses here for service, it means like waiting tables. That's the word we use, another word we use close to this is for deacons, which also means for waiting tables. Think about that. He's saying that giving isn't just about money, it's about serving others, like a waiter who joyfully brings food to your table. Isn't that wonderful when you have a waiter who really is into it and they're having a good time with it? Generosity is more than just a financial transaction. It's an act of humble, joyful service that we do. So a good waiter doesn't drag their feet. They serve with joy. They anticipate needs. They look for ways to help. And that's the kind of generosity that God's calling us to. This is the kind of generosity that Jesus had, right? The Son of Man came not to serve, or not to be served, but to serve. His whole life was about that. So here's the challenge. How can you serve through your giving this week? Maybe it's financially supporting this ministry and other ministries. Maybe it's giving your time to help somebody in need. Maybe it's simply looking for a way to bless somebody unexpectedly because you have some gift or talent that you can offer. Whatever it is, give with the heart of a servant, like Jesus did. See, you are the spreader, and Jesus is spreading these seeds of service through you. Do you see that? He's giving the seeds. He's placing it in you. The Bible says we're like earthen vessels. Like, there's nothing special about us. What's special about us is what's inside the earthen vessel. And what's inside of you is the Holy Spirit. And God is just pouring this stuff into you so you can pour it out. The last thing, Paul reminds us that generosity isn't just about giving, it's also about gratitude. So we thank God and we celebrate the impact. Paul says that when we give, it results in thanksgiving to God. People don't just see the gift, they see God's hand behind the gift. And that's why Paul ends this passage with this idea of thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Because no matter how much we give, it's going to pale in comparison to what God has already given us in Jesus Christ. That's why we don't give reluctantly, but we give joyfully. We don't give out of guilt. We give out of gratitude because we're thankful. I have a friend, and I'm talking to my friend. I noticed that they were receiving some fantastic gifts from the people around them. And I'm like scratching my head. I'm like, wait a minute, they got this, somebody gave them like an appliance for their kitchen, like something sometimes you would have to budget to be able to buy something like this. I'm like, they gave you that? Yeah, they gave me that. A little while later, they got like a gift card, you know, usually $50, $100, maybe $150. But they got one for a fancy restaurant. They could go there two or three times on the amount they received. I'm like, what is going on here? And then it didn't take me too long to see that this person goes out of their way to be helpful to other people, loves other people. And so people are so inspired, they want to give back. And they're doing it in hilarious ways, over-the-top ways. And that brings me to a hope for me and a hope for you. My hope is that we will experience God's goodness so deeply like these people, that we'll just want to give back, that we'll just do it joyfully, that we won't just give, but we'll do it with freedom and gratitude because we know the one who has given everything for us. I noticed one more thing here. Paul says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. But where does that sufficiency come from? It's not our sufficiency. Our sufficiency comes from God. And how does his grace abound through us? It abounds through us through Jesus. You see, Jesus didn't give reluctantly, did he? He gave joyfully. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He sowed generously even to the point of death so that we could reap eternal life. And now because of him, we are filled with overflowing grace, a grace that enables us to give, to serve, to abound in every good work. So where is God calling you to trust him more in generosity? Maybe it's planning, you're giving a little bit more intentionally. Maybe it's in the idea of giving in faith rather than fear. Maybe it's seeing generosity as an act of worship, as much as singing a worship song would be. Or maybe it's taking time to thank God and celebrate the impact of those who have given to you, or where you're giving and planting seeds, taking time for thanksgiving. Whatever it is, let's step into joyful giving, not because we have to, but because we get to, because we've already received from Jesus. So I'm going to give you just a moment just to think about what you've heard today, to think about what the Holy Spirit was trying to say through Paul today. Take a moment to reflect or pray about what you've heard. The worship team's going to come, and we'll end in worshipful praise.